Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. All right, this is Gavin Duerson.
This is Tom LeCompte.
And we want to welcome you back to Keep It Simple podcast. Tom and I have kissed and made up since our last podcast a few weeks ago.
I'm still holding a grudge.
We got in a fight, but we're back together.
No, we didn't.
All is well. But hey, we want to take some time today as we're walking people, is kind of sequentially, I guess, if you will, through house church ministry. Starting a house church or simple church, and that hopefully will be it's all about making disciples and reproducing disciples that can make other disciples, and hopefully house churches that end up making other house churches as a natural result of the discipleship process. If you've been with us for a while, you know that's what we are about here, and we've sort of been trying to walk people through that, this process the last several weeks. And today, Tom and I want to just talk about a very important topic, and we won't be able to develop it fully here, but as we think about being leaders of house churches, being disciples who are making other disciples, there are two important things that sort of go together that are part of the Great Commission that we really want to make sure we cover here today, and that is proclamation of the gospel and the act of baptism. And so if you've been taking us up on some of our challenges that we've been issuing, perhaps you've been praying for lost folks and having conversations with people about Christ, probably already thinking about some of these questions, should you be put in this position? But what is the gospel? How do we share it? What's an effective way of communicating the most essential things about Christ that we would take a bullet for? And how do you share that with folks? And then how do you baptize somebody? I mean, if there's not the church office to call or the pastor to baptize people, or how are you supposed to actually baptize somebody? And that is something in house church ministry you will likely be asked to do. And that was part of the Great Commission, is to go and make disciples and then baptize. So let's talk a little bit about that. Tom, when you think about sharing the gospel or sharing your faith or proclaiming the gospel, what is it that first comes to your mind?
In my nightmares, I think of knocking on a door of a complete stranger, and they open the door and I ask them some written down questions like, if you were to die tonight, would you know for certain that you were going to heaven, and why would God let you into my heaven? No, I'm just being facetious. I used to do that. I used to do confrontational evangelism, you know, door-to-door evangelism, and I never enjoyed doing that. I'm more of a relational type of evangelist, where I will share my faith naturally, based on, you know, just a natural conversation that I'm having with someone I know or somebody I've just met, and kind of have some sort of relationship with. It's a lot of things. It's not just the words you speak, but it's backing your words up with your actions. Bonnie and I work with international students, and we find that it's very difficult to explain the gospel if you try to do it right away.
Yeah.
When you first meet them. For one thing, they don't know the English language very well. They don't know the words I'm saying. If I talk about sin, if I talk about salvation or propitiation or baptism or anything, they have no frame of reference. So a canned or confrontational style of evangelism with an international student, you know, or a tract, you know, handing him a tract and having him read it, it's almost worthless. I won't say it's completely worthless, because, you know, the Word of God is never worthless, but the way you package that message, it makes all the difference. And
yeah,
what we do, you know, what the way we've set up our ministry is we will love those students first. We will serve them. We will help them. And, you know, it starts with, you know, when they touch down at the airport, we'll try to go pick them up and give them a place to stay for a while until they find an apartment. And then we'll help them find furniture for their apartment. And then we'll help them, we'll show them how to go shopping at Walmart. And we'll do things for them. And what that does is that just it makes their brain explode. Like, why are you doing this? But no one's ever done so much for me. I never expected this when I came to America. Why are you doing this? And then we get the opportunity to say, well, we do this because, you know, we follow Jesus, and Jesus wants us to help people.
Yeah.
And then we'll be quiet. We'll let them process that. And then maybe they'll ask a question. Then we can give them a little bit more as they're ready.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of ways that people go about it. I've been a part of the door-to-door stuff. I've been a part of giving out tracts. And honestly, you know, I'm not really one to say, I kind of have had similar experiences to you, probably along those lines. Although I have had, I've seen people come to faith, complete strangers, you know, by walking up to them. Hey, do you got a few minutes? I'd like to share something with you.
Yeah,
you know,
I
don't want to poo-poo on that too much, but it's probably it's not the most. I think a lot of those experiences happen in mission trips or retreats or like special projects. It's not the average like encounter of sharing the gospel that most people will have during the day with coworkers, people that they know. I think, you know, there might be ways that we could talk about sharing the gospel with people that we're going to see and probably never see again. That might be one thing, and there might be value to that. But I think for most people, especially in simple church mission, we're talking about blooming where you're planted. We're talking about reaching your next door neighbor. These are people you have relationships with already. And sometimes it can be awkward. How do you, you know, that's what we've taught people sharing the gospel is, as you go knock on the door. But when you're talking about family and you're talking about friends and people you work with, that seems very weird and canned and awkward sometimes to think about doing that.
So, there's a little bit of unreality to it, disingenuousness to it, because why else would you go knock on that person's door? You know, they're kind of a project now.
Yeah, and people smell when they feel like they're. I mean, you can always point to that one person that prayed that you hear the story. Well, I just woke up this morning and prayed, God, if you don't want me to kill myself, please send someone to my door. And that happened to be the day that the evangelism troop came through. You know, and I mean, you don't want to discount those sorts of things. But for most people, and I think in simple church, it is about relationships, and it's you're going to share the gospel with people that know you or that you're going to continue to know. And so what I want to kind of challenge everyone to do, and I don't want to get in, I mean, if you want to look up the, you know, I don't want to spend time defining what is the gospel. I mean, you can look that up on your own. You've probably, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you might have already, you know, be familiar with the four spiritual laws, tract book. You could probably explain the gospel, like, as a matter of fact, as a matter of information. You might be able to get some nuts and bolts of that, and it may not be, you might not feel great about it. But I'm going to assume that that's, you probably could work your way around some of the most basic elements of the gospel. If you can't, then just Google it. Give us an email. We'll send you sort of that, or you might just
We'll send you a tract.
But if you can't sort of summarize the gospel, or if that's something you just to refresh you briefly on, 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, Paul says, he reminds us of what the gospel is. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me as the one abnormally born." So, you know, he sort of declares the gospel there in a nutshell. He says in verse 2 before that, "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach. preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. And that's what he summarizes sort of as the gospel. Mm-hmm. And you know, you might even imagine, and I can imagine this, Tom, like going to your next door neighbor and saying to them, hey, have you ever heard the gospel? Well, let me read it to you. That's going to sound even corny. That would be kind of cornballish. Yeah, yeah. And I think the reason is because in our day, and this is the challenge I think that every Christian faces, but especially those of us in house church, because it's up close and it's personal, it's hand-to-hand combat, if you will, is how do we explain that gospel that Paul was talking about, and that all these tract booklets and things that probably we've passed out for years, how do we explain that gospel to people as it relates to our life? In other words, I think, how has this gospel message changed my life? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Paul, you know, in the, not Paul, but in the book of Revelation, John, you know, he says in the end that they would triumph over the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, and it's this idea that there is so much power in our testimony. So how do we, and that could be when you became a Christian, but that could also be something that happened last week. But how do you explain the gospel to people as it relates to your life? And I've been thinking a lot about this, and we had a get together with some other simple church leaders the other night. We were talking about this very thing, is that all the world around us is a natural world, and when we show up talking about a God that has been involved, not just that's out there, that's in this book, but when we translate that book, the story in the Bible, as it has affected our lives, that is a very abnormal thing to people, and it's powerful. It's powerful. And so, Tom, I want to ask you, how, when you think about that, what does that really mean? Like, how would someone share the gospel as it relates to their testimony? What would that maybe look like? After, you know?
Well, I think, first of all, if you do have this relationship with someone that you are trying to share this mm-hmm. with, they're going to be looking at your life, because they're hearing the words you're saying. Okay, you're telling me that God wants me to live for Him and believe in Him, and how's that going to make me different? Well, if you're living your life as a Christian, you're obeying the scriptures, you're trying to be conformed to the image of Christ, they have something to look at and to model.
Yeah,
and they have kind of like proof of in the pudding, and if you're doing it right, they want to be like you. They want what you want, and this is frequently what, when I mentioned before, you know, this is what causes conversations among the students, is like, why do you have such a nice marriage? Why are you always so nice? Why are you always so? And I'm not always so nice, but I appear nice. Why do you appear so nice? Why, you know? Why the big why question?
Yeah, yeah.
So you are the biggest, loudest sermon. You know, you could do a whole lot more than any tract or any presentation or any sermon, you know, audio sermon or anything like that. Your life is the biggest sermon. But you have to back up that with words, you know, eventually. So the words and the life, they kind of have to match.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be perfect. And then that's the whole point.
Sure.
So another thing, what we tell our students is, you know, as we're talking to them about, you know, religion, you know, and Jesus Christ, is we get them to think about, you know, world religions, you know, Hinduism. What's the goal of Hinduism? It's to stop this cycle of reincarnation by, you know, renouncing everything. The same with Buddhism. Islam, you're supposed to be walking the straight path and making God happy so that He will approve you into paradise and everything.
Yeah.
So all these things, we're trying to jump up towards God and hopefully get there. Mm. With Christianity, God, He knew we couldn't jump up high enough. There's no way. We couldn't jump up high enough or accurately enough. So He stepped down. He stepped down to us. He reached down to us and pulled us up.
Yeah.
That is a big abstract presentation of the gospel right there. And that, if you stop right there, that just makes you scratch your head. You know, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think relating that to our own lives is a skill that Christians would do very well to develop because, you know, and what I mean by that, you know, this would not be the exact version. I think every person has different personalities and styles and gifts and ways they communicate. But, you know, I think of how do we explain about sin, the need for Christ, like repentance, what he did on the cross. These sorts of things, as it relates to our own life, you know, that is something that, and to be honest, unfortunately, I think in North America, Christians are not really called upon to share that, to relate the gospel to their own life and their own story. You know, they may give a testimony, and it's pretty much, well, when I was 10 years old, I went forward and was baptized, and I've been a Christian ever since. That's your story. That's something. But I think what we could do a better job of is explaining, well, what is going forward? Why did I go for it? What is that? Why did I get baptized? What does baptized even mean? You know, and so I'll try just off the top of my head. I wasn't even thinking I would do this, but you know, and to give an example, what I mean by this would be if I was sharing my story, I might with a friend or a neighbor or someone that knew me, I might say, well, hey, I want to tell you something. You know, I want to talk to you about my faith. Do you remember back when I used to be like this, you know, or I used to do these things? Remember that time we went on this trip and I said those things? I want to tell you about that because I'm a different person now. You know, what I realize now is that, you know, something was wrong with me back when you knew me. I was infected by this disease called sin. And, you know, the Bible actually says that sin is, you know, A, B, and C. And I remember one night I was praying and I was very convicted that my life was on the wrong path. And a friend of mine, shared a passage with me. And they said, you know, the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God was eternal life through Christ. And I never really knew what that meant or it never really made any sense to me. But that night, it made sense to me that I was dying and I was dead, but that Christ died so that I would not have to die. And that what he did on the cross was a gift. And that was a gift that I could not earn. I could not merit it based on my own behavior. I could not pick myself up by my own bootstraps and get myself right with God. But that act of dying on the cross that Jesus did was a payment for my sin and for all the junk in my life. He was willing to take that on himself and give me freedom and peace and joy and eternal life. And it didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand why God would want to do that for me, but I did experience his real presence and I experienced his love in such a way that I threw up my hands and surrendered. And I said, yes, God, I do want that. I trust you and I don't want to be the old me. I want to turn away from that life and I want to start living my life for you. And I just simply said yes to him. And from that day on, God has been walking with me, and when I try to get off the path, he helps me. And I'll give you an example. The other day I was doing this, and you might tell a story about something that happened just recently about how God helped you and corrected you. But that's kind of the idea, I think, what I'm getting at here. And so, you know, when we talk about sharing the gospel, I want to challenge everyone to really spend some time thinking through your story and your life. How would you explain your faith and translate the gospel, translate the Bible through your life? How would you communicate that to someone else?
Right.
Because that's a skill that you've probably, you know, some of you listeners may have never been asked to do that. You may have never done that. In churches, you don't have to do that. In simple church, you have to do that. In fact, we talked earlier, one of the things that I encourage people to do when they meet for simple church is to start their meetings, what has God been doing in your life this week? So you have to, every week, almost build in this idea, we're going to translate the supernatural of the week through our own life, and we're going to tell people about that. And that is an incredible testimony. That's being a witness, as the Bible talks about. That's what we're called to be, his witnesses. We're witnesses of what he has done. And we need to be prepared to be a witness of what Christ did 2,000 years ago changed our life. And we need to figure out how to do that. I like to just give you 5 bullet points and tell you to go say this, but then we're back to being canned again.
Right.
And this is something that everyone just needs to work out and practice at it. Video yourself. Take your cell phone, do your little facey video or selfie video, FaceTimey. That's like a FaceTime selfie. Do a facey video of yourself sharing the gospel and then replay it. And it's real painful to listen to yourself talk. Me and Tom know I don't ever listen to these podcasts because it's so painful. But do that and then kind of think, how would I share that differently? Did that even make sense? And this is something to practice, Tom. I think it is. In house church ministry, we kind of practice it every week to some degree. But as we're out and about and we're thinking about sharing the gospel with people who are not believers, we need to be ready to do that and invite people to follow Christ themselves.
Practice it in such a way that you're not going into zombie mode and saying, when I was 8 years old, I accepted Christ.
Real.
Make it real. Have a conversation. Yeah.
And sharing the gospel, it can relate to your week. It can relate to things that's happened recently. This is maybe a little bit vague, but I really want to challenge folks to think this through, because communicating the supernatural that's happened in and through your life is a very, very, very important thing that every believer really should be thinking about doing. And in house church, we have the wonderful opportunity to do it every week. And we don't want to just do it in our homes with Christians and the people that are there that are maybe coming, but we want to be able to do it at dinner and we bump into somebody at the gas station, translating the gospel through our lives.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.